with moss. He grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. Great love for man made God stay. God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mocked. Still he grew the tree that he knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. Nothing took his life, with love
you, sir. There are times in life that you need just three more seconds without swallowing. Yeah. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I've been drinking Louisiana coffee, eating Louisiana gumbo and boiled crawfish, and I've been with a bunch of wild Cajuns, and so y'all pardon me if I'm a little bit excited and weird. I said that for you, Brother Lemon, being from New Orleans. If you found your place in Hebrews chapter 4, stand with me. I remember one time I went to an old cemetery, and all of the graves on the headstones, they were cast out of concrete, and all of them had at rest. They were dead. Tonight I want to speak for a little while on the subject, Christians at rest. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And then verse 11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I want to talk to you for a little while about Christians at rest. Christians at rest. I'm not talking about Christians that are dead. I'm talking about Christians that act like it. I'm talking about Christians that have experienced the rest that is given to them at salvation because of their faith. And then after they're saved, they cease to serve. They cease to live as a Christian ought to live. I'm talking about Christians that have the promise of that eternal rest, that place in heaven, place prepared by God for the born again. I'm talking about Christians that lose the joy in this life because they don't, by faith, cross over their Jordan into the promised land of victory. Victory living, victory life. I know so many Christians that are defeated today. Father, help me tonight to say some things about from the context of this passage that will help us to look at our own heart, our own life, and be moved to your will and to your work. Thank you, dear God, for saving us from our sin. We thank you that it was not a struggle of works. It's not something we earned or bought, but it was given to us on the merits of God's grace through Jesus Christ when we used the faith you gave us to believe upon Jesus as our Savior. Help us never to get over that new birth, that salvation. And help us never get over the fact that we're going to heaven one day. One of these days, we're not going to have to live in this old world any longer. One of these days, we're not going to have to face the terrible conflicts of traffic and business and paganism and secularism. One day, we'll leave it all behind. And we'll go to that holy city where there is no sin, where there is no sorrow, where you are the light and the glory of that place. Now help us to realize, Father, that though we're saved and going there, we're not there yet. And we're told to serve, we're told to work, we're told to labor. We're told to be busy in the harvest fields until that day when we enter into that heavenly rest. Thank you for the rest of salvation. Thank you that I don't have to go to bed at night and wonder if I died, where would I spend eternity? Thank you that I don't have to live in doubts and uncertainty about my salvation. Thank you that you gave it to us paid for, complete, free, finished, and forever. And it's for anyone who'll accept you as their Savior. Now help me as I bring this message, and may you use the message to challenge our heart during these next 12 weeks of summer before school starts again. Lord, if we're not busy about your business, if we're not concerned about our walk, there's going to be some people here tonight that won't be in the house of God 12 weeks from now. They'll backslide during the summer. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. The writer of the book of Hebrews is giving out warnings to God's people. He calls their mind back in history to the children of Israel. They didn't enter into Canaan land because of their unbelief. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years until everyone above the age of 20 years of age had died. Cana here is used as Israel's place of rest. It was the victory land, the promised land. They rested from their wanderings. They had rest from the struggles of Egypt and from the struggles of the wilderness. Then the writer calls to mind the Lord our God in creation, how that in 6 days he labored, and on the seventh day he entered into rest, the Sabbath. He rested. He rested from creation. His work was complete. Then we come to verse number 9. And the Bible says, there remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. And then right after that is verse number 10. Now, there remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. And then in verse 10, he says, for he that entereth into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. He's saying simply that once we enter into that rest, there's no more struggles about salvation. There's no more works by law that we are required to do. Salvation is not earned. It's not worked for. It's not paid for. It's given to us freely. And we'll never have to struggle again in fear and wonders about whether or not salvation is complete. Or did Jesus really pay it all? Yes, it is complete. And yes, Jesus did pay it all. The first application here is that when we truly put our trust in Jesus Christ to save us, he saves us from hell forever. Forever. Once we get saved, I don't ever have to wonder if I might mess up and end up in hell. Salvation is eternal. Salvation is forever. It's finished. Jesus took all our sins upon him and paid for them completely. We can go to bed at night. We can sit down in our easy chair. We can spend time thinking, but we don't ever have to wonder, will I ever need to get born again? No, it's forever. It's forever. I just got born physically one time, and that one physical birth will last me all of my physical life. I got born again one time, and that spiritual birth will last us for all of our earthly life and for all eternity. It's forever. We don't ever have to worry again about that. And then there's verse number 11. Look at verse number 11. After he tells us that we can cease from our works, then verse number 11, he says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When you enter into rest, you stop laboring. Since we don't work or labor for our salvation, Paul must mean something else here. In Christ, we rest in from our struggles for salvation. We don't have to worry about eternity any longer. It's settled. May I say to you, after we're saved, this isn't heaven. This is not our rest. This is the church age. This is harvest time. This is work time. This is not the time we say, well, I've been born again, so I'll sit down, put my feet up on the back of a stool and drink lemonade and won't ever have to worry or work or struggle or serve again. No, this is the time for labor. Not to get saved, not to go to heaven, but to reap the harvest, to obey the command of Christ. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's saying this is not our rest. There remaineth therefore a rest for the children of God. One day we'll sit down in glory. One day we won't have to go again. We can't send out another missionary from heaven. We can't go soul winning anymore. We won't be able to teach a Sunday school class anymore. There'll be no more sermons for me to preach there in heaven. But this isn't heaven. This is work time. This is harvest time. Acts 1:8, the last words Jesus spake before he ascended back to the Father. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He's saying to us, now I'm going back to heaven, but you're not yet. And this earth isn't heaven. So you be busy. There's people that need to hear about Jesus. There's countries that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God, but this is not that rest. John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, even so send I you. You know what he's doing? He's sending us to live a Christian life in a world that knows not God. He's sending us to serve in the harvest fields and in the churches. He's sending us to win souls and tell others about Jesus Christ. He's sending us to give our life a living sacrifice for his name and his glory and his honor. He's saying, just as the Father has sent me, so send I you. This is not our rest. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. But this is work time. This is harvest time. This is the time to be busy about the Lord's work. In Luke 19, verse 13, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Now that word occupy till I come does not mean find a chair under a shade and sit there till Jesus comes. What it does mean is this: keep doing my business as I commanded till I come again. Keep doing business for me till I come back. He's saying, keep on preaching. This is not resting time, it's preaching time. Keep on teaching. This is not resting time, it's teaching time. Keep on running the buses. This is not resting time, it's bus running time. Keep on soul winning. This is not resting time, it's soul winning time. Keep sending out missionaries. This is not the time to rest, this is the time for evangelization. Keep on tithing and giving. This is not the end of the church age. The work of God needs to go out more than ever before. Hey folks, the day Jesus gave the Great Commission, as compared today, we are 10 times further behind in evangelizing the world than we were the day Jesus gave the Great Commission. This isn't rest time. This is work time. You say, what's the problem? Christians are at rest when they ought to be at work. Christians are sitting under the shade tree when we ought to be busy. Christians are making excuses when we ought to be yielding our life to the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you personally about the next 12 weeks for just a moment. We must not surrender these next 12 weeks as holidays. Some of you students, college students say, well, bless God, school's over. We're here on the summer holidays. No, no, no. This is work time. This is harvest time. Well, I went out in my garden this afternoon after I got back, got home about 3 o'clock, about 3:30, went out there with a bucket, and I picked a bucket of yellow squash and some cucumbers and some zucchini. Harvest time. Man, I checked my tomatoes, didn't have any ripe, got one. But it's harvest time. By the time we get back from youth camp next week, I'll have a bucket full. You know why? It's harvest time. If I sit down and I don't gather the harvest, cucumbers that get about that big around and about that long and so bitter and hard you can't eat them. The squash will be so hard and seedy you can't use it. The tomatoes will rot. You got to get it. You got to gather it. It's harvest time. This is not the time to rest. Can you imagine a farmer going to the trouble of plowing the fields and cultivating and planting the crop and cultivating the crop and fertilizing, and now it's time to gather the crop and he decides to take a rest. He loses the crop. May I say, this is the time we gather the crop. These next 12 weeks of summer are not 12 weeks of summer vacation. Oh, I hope everyone here gets to take a vacation during the summertime. But this summer is not our rest. That's the reason we scheduled our youth camp next week and the following week, our week of soul winning. That's the reason we scheduled our youth conference the week after that, the last week of June. Then we have junior camp and backyard Bible clubs, and next thing you know, school started back. Why do we do that? My wife all the time says, honey, don't you think you could take it a little easier during the summer? Hey, this isn't our rest. This is harvest time. This is work time. There remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. Yes, get you a towel and wipe your face. Get you a glass of lemonade and get refreshed and go back to work again. This is not our rest. There remaineth therefore rest for the people of God. But this is harvest time. This is harvest time. There is a time when the church will be at rest and the Christian will be at rest. But it's after Jesus comes. It's after the trumpet sounds. Our work here then will be over. But Jesus hasn't come yet. And this is not our rest time. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. This is the time every child of God is to be busy doing what we can, trying to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're one of those few people that cannot talk to anybody, you can give out a tract. We have people saved every month here at this church because somebody gave them a gospel tract. And we've had tracts go from one person to another person, and then on the parking lot, it rained on it, a car drove over it, and somebody came along and picked it up and called the church and said, could you show me how to be saved? Hey, we need to be doing what we can. We need to be getting the gospel out. This is not rest time. This is the time every child of God is to labor. This is the time of sowing and reaping the harvest. Then may I say quickly, our Lord's command to us is to work, for the night cometh when no man can work. And I challenge you as an individual Christian. I challenge the members of Trinity Baptist Church. And I challenge those of you that chose to visit this service on this night. Rededicate yourself to the Lord's work. Rededicate yourself to the Lord's church. We live in a terrible day when churches are going every direction but God's direction. They're leaving the book. They're leaving the hymn book. They're leaving soul winning. They're giving up bus ministry. They're trying to entertain instead of preach and promote and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Their program includes everything but world evangelism. Hey, we who believe this book and believe that the church is the Lord's church and not ours need to rededicate ourselves to Him, to His book, and to His church. This is that time when we're to be at work. Join with us this summer as we give ourselves all summer long. Soul winning, witnessing, serving, doing what we can to keep people out of hell. Doing what we can to make Christ known in a world that's growing more secular and more pagan every day. The idea of the average person is, well, we'll just let somebody else do it. But God intends for me and you to do it. You read the Great Commission, you ought to read it not with the preacher and the deacons and the Sunday school teachers in mind. You ought to read it with you in mind. God is speaking to you. To you. We need to be busy. This is not our rest. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. There's a day coming we can sit down because the work's over. But this is not that day. This is not that day. It was a joy to spend a couple of days with Brother Buchanan as the church there celebrated its 30th anniversary at Central Baptist in Baton Rouge. When I resigned 30 years ago, the men asked me, "Preacher, recommend someone that'll carry on the type of ministry we have here at this church." After prayer and thought, God laid Brother Buchanan on my heart, and I gave him their name, or gave them his name and address and phone number, and they called him, heard him. Heard him preach. They called him and invited him to come. He came. They called him to be their pastor. He's been there 30 years. It's a joy to see people there that we led to Christ and that we baptized still serving the Lord. It was a joy to see young men, everybody that preached in the conference came out of that church saved and called to preach and served there on the church staff at one time or another. It was refreshing to see that old church after all these years still going straight down the line, still preaching the word, still believing in separation from the world, still believing in soul winning and world missions and glorifying God, still singing the old hymns. What a blessing. I'm challenging you, church. Christians fall by the scores during the summertime. Here in Texas especially, when the heat gets so hot, our tempers get short. There's more domestic violence, more fights between husbands and wives, more murders, more road rage, more friends getting mad at one another, church problems. Happens in the midst when we're overcome by the heat of the world and the pressures of this world. Let's be careful this summer. Let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord Jesus. Let's dedicate ourselves to a walk with God. When you get hot, use it as a means to thank God and praise Him that you're never going to have to spend a minute in hell. The only thing you'll ever find out, you'll ever know about hell is what you read in the Bible. closest thing to hell's heat you'll ever experience is the summer heat here in Texas in July and August. Oh, rejoice. Don't sit down. Don't quit. Don't give up. There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. But this is not that rest time. This is harvest time. This is occupying time. This is serving time. Find a place to be useful. Find a place to give yourself in service to the Lord. Help in the Sunday school. Help in a bus ministry. Help with the ushering. Help with greeting. Help with soul winning. Help wherever you can find a place. Be willing to serve God. This is not our rest. Oh, there's coming a time we can sit down and we won't have to work anymore. But at this time, let's look at it not as though I've got to work. Let's look at it like this. We have been redeemed. We have been saved. And we have been indwelt, sealed, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And God has given us the privilege of serving Him and working for Him and witnessing for Him, being a partner with Him as we carry the gospel to Arlington and around the world. This is not our rest. This is work time. Father, thank you for these few minutes tonight with our people. May they take this simple challenge.